3, 2, 1.
Welcome to It's Fabulous!
True personal story.
It's Fabulous!
Exfabula is a Milwaukee nonprofit committed to strengthening community bonds through the art of storytelling.
And it is time for Exfabula Radio once again, part of Lake Effect Weekend, every weekend on WUWM. I'm Bruce Winter. Sitting in for Leah this week is Carlina from Exfabula. Welcome back. You've done this once before.
Yes, I have. I'm happy to be here.
And we have stories this week about?
About fun on the farm.
In conjunction with State Fair, I guess we can tie it all in.
Yeah, yeah.
And you were part of Sculpture Milwaukee, too, that the stories associated with that just ended. You were part of that, right?
Yeah, so Exfabula partnered with Sculpture Milwaukee to exhibit storytelling tours for their 21-piece urban outdoor exhibit. And so I was able to assist with all three of those and kind of document everybody who attended and all the storytelling.
On video and audio?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Excellent. What's our first story today? What's it about?
Our first teller is Liza Kessler, coming from the Acquired Taste Story Slam. She came on stage with a broken arm cast, and she was talking about how she needed to protect her cast while she was showering. Oddly enough, it ended with a story about cattle insemination.
Let's hear it.
Hello. Hello. So, a little over a year ago, I do have a prop, I'm sorry, Megan, but I'm not taking it off. A little over a year ago, I fell down. If you were here at the Times at the last one, I told a story right after my surgery. What happened is I tore a ligament. And that it took me a while to figure it out. It took a while longer to get the right diagnosis. It took a while longer to get the surgery actually to happen. And part of the particular ligament that I tore, it's the one that controls moving your arm like this. So the recovery involves a full arm cast for 6 weeks, because when you move your elbow, your wrist can go like this. So I had some concerns about how I was going to shower while in a full arm cast. Now, cast technology has improved a lot since I was a kid, but because surgery, I was not allowed to get it wet. And so I asked the surgeon, okay, so if I can't get it wet, what do I do? This being Wisconsin, he said, well, you should go up to Menards and you should get some cattle insemination gloves. Okay. But you see, cattle insemination gloves threw me instantly back into a time warp. It was 1986, and my family had just finished hosting an exchange student who was English, but her mother was German, and she spoke fluent German. My grandparents on my dad's side were German immigrants, and my family decided that we should go and meet all the relatives who hadn't immigrated. And Isabel, the exchange student, joined us for this trip. So we went off to this small town in Germany called Kleiniedersheim that, if you speak German, helps distinguish it from Groß Niedersheim down the road, Little Niedersheim versus Big Niedersheim. So there we are in Little Niedersheim with these relatives of mine who speak no English. I speak no German. So I am completely dependent on Isabel for the entire translation part of this trip. And it's a farm. And these two relatives of mine, the adult farmer and the young adult or older teenage farmer, have this bull. And their bull is a stud. And they have just been working really hard all day harvesting bull semen. So Isabel, we're 16, mind you, hears this and looks at me and shrieks, oh my God, did you hear that? And I say, yes, but I don't understand any of it. And she completely ignores it. Now, she is a person who was super curious about everything. There was no subject matter too taboo, too awkward, too embarrassing, too anything for Isabel. So she proceeds to interrogate my relatives about how you go about harvesting bull semen. And pretty much every answer that she got back, she would look at me and shriek again, "Oh my God, did you hear that?" I think the whole thing took about 15 minutes, but I could be wrong because in the moment, it felt like I was spending all of eternity in hell. But I think that turned out to be wrong. So finally, if my translator is to be believed, I discovered that the process involved a wooden cow and a bicycle with a cooler on the back and some large syringes. I'm not really sure, but the bottom line really is that I think showering while wearing a arm-length plastic glove is probably nearly as much of an acquired taste as harvesting bull semen.
Moo, 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 I love you. I know you're a cow, but anything will do. Moo-wee, moo, can't you see? I just wanna make love to you.
So that was Liza Kessler's story from the Acquired Taste Story Slam.
I can relate to that because I learned how to wrap myself in saran wrap after a surgery and broken bones and trying to keep it dry in the shower. It's not easy.
I mean, I've never broken a bone, but I've gotten tattoos, so I can relate.
Yeah, I kind of hang my leg outside the shower for a while years ago trying to keep it dry. It's very uncomfortable.
Very uncomfortable.
And what's coming up with X Fabulous? Season 10 will be here before we know it.
Yes, so season 10 starts next month, early September. So we really encourage people to get their season 10 memberships, and you can get those online at xfabula.org.
All right, second story today.
Our second teller is Hannah Utenbrook. She told a story at an X Fabula fellowship event interrogating whiteness, talking about her family's ancestry and immigration from the United States, or to the United States from Prussia. And also talking about a lot of memories at her family farmhouse.
All right, let's hear it.
When I grew up, I would walk across the street with my family, and we would go to church with all 24 of my family members. And after Mass, we'd all come back, and we'd all go into across the street again, because my grandma and grandpa live next to us. And we would go into their old farmhouse, and we'd have homemade bread and eggs and homemade jam. And we'd just spend the day together, because why not? One of the things that my grandfather loved to do was tell stories. And one of his favorite stories that he'd always tell was a story of when our first ancestor came to the United States. So his name was Joseph Utenbrook, and the story goes, when they're coming from Prussia, and there's three boys in the boat with their mother, and they came across the United States, and there's no record of the mother actually making it to the United States. So she died on her way over. And the boys they arrived to the United States as orphans. And then they were shipped off to Wisconsin, I don't quite know why, and brought to a Catholic church. And the priest put them out in front and said, anyone want them? Joseph was taken in by a farming family. That is the story my grandpa will tell with like gratitude and joy. Just a story that's very dear and near to my heart. Grew up, loved family gatherings at my grandparents' house. Eventually, graduated high school, made it to college. And in college, I was a sociology major. And that was the first time I started to learn concepts like white privilege and white supremacy and institutionalized racism. And those things were like so true, like yeah, that makes so much sense, that's the way the world is. But then I had two different stories kind of going in my head that left me very confused about what was true about the American story and what was true about like how I viewed the world. So I'd come home and I would like talk to my family members, and we'd like fight about things. And it was the first time I was like, I don't want to belong to these people. My grandpa, the stories he tells, he also tells racist stories. Like, that's my grandfather. He loves me. He takes care of me. He tells me that I'm a good person. I was in college and I was learning about, at the same time, like all the black men were being shot by the police. And I started reflecting, like, no one would shoot me. No. No, there's no reason a police would shoot me. Like, no. And at the same time, I started realizing things about my family story. I started thinking about it a little bit deeper. And I'm wondering, when Joseph Eitenbrook came to the United States as an orphan, like, why wasn't he sold into, like, child labor or some slavery or some way? Like, there's only one reason. In the farmland that my family has passed on from generations, like, that was land that the government stole from the Menominee Indians, and it now benefits my family. That's generational wealth. It feels so shameful and so also really incomplete, because I can stand here and say these things and know these things, but like, what does that mean? What does it mean to me not wanting to belong to my family members? I belong to them. They belong to me. I don't want to belong to that. I don't want to belong. I want to fix it. I want to correct my family members when they may say something that may make me feel really uncomfortable because I know it's racist. But I'm part of the problem as well. If they belong to me and I belong to them, I'm part of the problem. And it's in my own heart as well. So.
And that was Hannah Utenbrock, again, from the Interrogating Whiteness Exfabula Fellowship event.
And all things Exfabula, not just the story slams and season tickets, but anything you guys got coming up is at information's at your website, right?
Yeah, if you just go on exfabula.org.
Thank you for pinch hitting today.
Of course.
Carlina in for Leah. Leah will be back next week with more stories every weekend on Lake Effect Weekend from Exfabula Radio. And if you want to hear these stories again or share them with friends, you will find them with pictures at WUWM.com.
Down in the pasture, back of the corral, we'll dance the polka, each cowboy and his gal. Down in the pasture where the cattle graze, we'll dance the cow pasture polka.